to the devastating economy of Jane Austen, to the impossibility of holding food down, to religion. Almost from the moment I met Baldwin, I recognized that I was in the presence of a highly complex, troubled, and driven individual who was more intensely serious than anyone I had ever met. This is not to say he did not enjoy life or that he had no sense of humor. He was a man who laughed a lot and who knew how to make others laugh. And while clearly obsessed by what he saw as a witnessing role, he was just as committed to the life of the senses. When he ate a meal, smoked a cigarette, sipped on a scotch, or touched another human being, he did so with deep pleasure that was evident and with an incomparable elegance and care. And he spent his whole life longing to be picked up and sheltered by what he thought of as the power of love in arms stronger than his own. Baldwin was a lonely and extremely vulnerable man. His vulnerability made him sometimes overly defensive, even, some would say, paranoid. In pursuit of love and approval, he squandered money and time and sometimes hurt people. He was a man, like most people, with evident neuroses. He was not a saint. He was not always psychologically or emotionally stable. But he was a prophet. It was the calling to bear witness to the truth that dominated Baldwin's being, and in this role he could be harsh, uncompromising, and even brutally cruel. He knew that the combination of his heritage as an African-American, his early God-given talent with words, and even his mysterious parentage and his sexual ambivalence made it inevitable that he be an outsider, a stranger condemned like Jonah to preach and convert, even as he longed simply to live. Like it or not, he was called, and to the extent that he attempted to refuse the call in his life, he found himself psychologically trapped in the belly of the whale. Baldwin was a prophet not so much in the tradition of foreseeing events, although the fire next time bears witness to the fact that he sometimes did precisely that, as in the tradition of the Old Testament. Like Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Samuel, whose words and agonies he knew from his days as a child preacher in Harlem, he understood that as a witness, he must often stand alone in anger against a nation that seemed intent on not keeping the faith. He knew that his childhood salvation on the threshing floor of his church was but the preface to a life of searching on the universal threshing floor of personal and societal pain. Baldwin's prophecy took many forms. His essays stand out as among the most articulate expressions we have of the human condition in his time. The collections Notes of a Native Son and Nobody Knows My Name and the long essay The Fire Next Time have already become classics. In 3 plays, many short stories, and 6 novels, including, most notably, Go Tell It on the Mountain, Giovanni's Room, Sonny's Blues, and Another Country, Baldwin creates parables to illustrate, in the private and personal realm of human relationships, the words of his essays. Baldwin was a writer who could combine the cadences of the King James Bible and Henry James with what he liked to call the beat of African-American culture. His audience was the whole nation, and he incorporated the whole nation into his voice. His was the voice in the wilderness that preached the necessity of touching. In his personal life and his work, he took the side of those who were made into exiles and outcasts by barriers of race, sex, and class, or who turned away from safety and chose the honorable path of tearing down such barriers. But he mourned for those who had created the barriers and had unwittingly allowed themselves to be destroyed by them. Stonington, Connecticut, 1993. Chapter 1. The Harlem Life. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Old song. Illegitimacy and an almost obsessive preoccupation with his stepfather were constant themes in the life and works of James Baldwin. The circumstance of his birth to Burtis Jones on August 2, 1924 in New York City's Harlem Hospital was later to symbolize for him the illegitimacy attached to an entire race within the American nation. If Baldwin ever knew who his real father was, he kept the knowledge to himself.